Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing with your handsome, sexy host... Oh, Stuart.
Stuart with him. Damn. Thank you.
And the guy who looked like he's just brushed his hair with a balloon is Chris Glasson.
Oh, are you all right,
yeah,
Glasson?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. It was my girlfriend's birthday yesterday. It all went well. She hasn't split up with me. I baked a cake and it was really delicious. Her words.
As much as I wanted to slag it off, it looked really good.
Yeah, I did a good job. First ever real cake. I thought I'd done one before, but I've actually only ever done cupcakes before. I did a red velvet cake, so I didn't fuck about. I went in, and yeah, it just came out how it's supposed to come out. I was like, fuck. Didn't burn
it. Skills, man.
Yeah, so, no, it was lovely. I think Molly had a nice day, as far as anyone who's having their birthday during this isolation period, and it's going to be quite a lot of us. So, yeah, it was cool, man. How are you, okay?
Yeah, man. All good. Had a little Zoom catch-up with... Cunt in the Gang last night.
Oh, nice.
And DJ Destruction.
Oh, wicked, of course. You said you was going to have a drink up and that, yeah?
Yeah, so I had a couple of glasses of vino with them. And then we was doing like the Pop Bubble listening parties as well this week.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I saw that, yeah.
It was Rich Wilson's one last night and the Football Ramble one. And we got Kate Thornton's one tonight.
Cool.
So they'll all be done by the time this comes out. But yeah, so that's kind of what I've been doing. A nice run this morning. And as I said to you a minute ago, bumped into Wargie from War and Peace. Mm-hmm. And had a little stroll around the park with him.
Was he faster and fitter than you? Who won? Did you
I'd already took the dog out and had my run. And so I'd done my run first. And then when I bumped into him, he was... I will give him credit. He had a rucksack full of weight.
Oh, fucking hell!
So yeah, he was on it as well. All right. Needless to say, in much better shape than myself. So, before we get on with today's podcast, let's do some thank yous. Yeah.
Thank you very much for being our sponsors. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much, Luke and Charles. Thank you very much.
So, Luke's been in touch with some more ideas.
I've read it late last night. It looks great, yeah. So, yeah, it looks incredible. So, that'd be really cool.
There'll be some exciting stuff coming your way from the very talented fingers of Luke Van Boom, of Bang Boom Creative.
And if you've been smart enough to get yourself some beers, we've had discount code LBHCLP. That's 15% off. And that's from love-beer.co.uk. Get yourself some quality alcohol.
Do you know what? It's been good. I've seen a lot of our listeners have been doing it. I've seen people, I've had messages asking for codes. I've also seen people that are putting pictures up of the beer that they've bought from Love Beer. So that's great. And, you know, obviously, Charles is in a situation at the moment, you know, where he can't be doing a lot of what he wants to be doing, like most of us. But one of the things that I guess a lot of us are doing in lockdown is he's drinking more.
Yeah.
And so why not make that beer be something special? If you're going to try and make the most of your night in and drink something, then don't go and buy four cans of Foster's.
Yeah.
You know, have one bottle of beer, but make it a proper decent one.
That's right.
And Yeah, and Charles will deliver them to your front door, then come and collect the bottles. Super eco-friendly. And yeah, you get to say hi to Charles as well, mm-hmm. who's been, you know, a sponsor from way back now.
He's offering hand jobs as well on that round, but he does use a glove, so everything's fine. So just you can ask that from Charles. Just say Chris said that that would be fine, and he'll be like, yeah, sure, we've discussed this in advance.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Today we are doing top five cartoon characters that you would like to see made into a film mm-hmm. starring humans,
yeah.
and what humans would you want to play them?
Yeah, and this was by Ross Martin. Thank you very much, mm-hmm. Ross. Thank you very, very, very much.
You stop doing that?
Sorry. He sent over quite a lot of suggestions after he's had a little bit of a binge, hasn't he? Of us mingers.
That's a great shout, this one. And we mentioned before we press record that actually a little bit harder than we thought to come up with these.
Yeah, it is, mate. It is, indeed. And that's why my number five... Oh, shout out to 76 producing this.
Oh, yeah, he'll be polishing this turd.
Yeah, so my number five starts with a cheat one. You like a cheat one, don't we? Do you remember when... Have you ever seen the Thundercats, the movie trailer?
No.
So about 7 years ago, there was a movie trailer for Thundercats, and I was like, oh, finally, all of our combined prayers have been answered. Watched it, looked really mm-hmm. good. And then about like two-thirds of the way through, I was like...
An animated film?
No, live action. And I was like, about two-thirds of the way through, I started realising, I think I've seen these scenes before. And what it was fan-made, and they just used, like, very clever, like, shop effects to make other things from other movies and stitch them together to make it look like a Thundercats movie. But they'd use special effects and that to make the guys look like Lion-O and that. It was fucking wicked. And it was the first fan-made one that kind of tricked me. And also one of the major ones that I think probably inspired a lot of people to start making fan-made trailers of things that don't exist. And the Thundercats one was dope. It's really good. You can look at it. Thundercats movie on YouTube. And they had Brad Pitt as Lion-O. And I thought that was a great casting. It looked really cool. And they had, I think, Vin Diesel was Panthro. But I'd probably have like someone like Michael Jai White as Panthro. He was in Luke Cage. So, yeah, I love that one. But that's my first shout. I'd love to see that. I'd still like to see Brad Pitt as Lion-O. But he's like... Lion-O's a bit younger than Brad Pitt. And obviously they're going to be doing special effects to make him look like a giant lion man. But he's nearly on the wrong side of acting that role. So they need to hurry up with that, don't they? Obviously. So that's my number five, unless you've got anything to add on that.
Never saw him shit, did you?
You never did, no. I don't know if they penned that as an episode. And,
I know, I'm just thinking, you know, it wasn't very real. And I just think they could have made it a little bit more realistic, where you would be a bit more believable if maybe Lion-O was in a litter tray, like just having a little clear out. And do you know what I'm saying?
No,
like, keep it real.
No one knows what you're saying, SG. This has gone too far to keep it real, because in none of your movies do you watch them have shits. God, did I have a shit in Shame? Is there a scene where one of them's on the toilet having a dump? How about in fucking... Let's pick anything with Paddy Considine in, right? Is there any scene where he's taking a shit?
No, but no. You don't need to suspend your imagination in them films, because they're real.
So would that help you suspend your imagination in one of these fantasy?
If they'd even got to use it, just there's a litter tray in the corner.
If there was a round in Warhammer, which was everyone, you have to pick out what one of your guys needs to take a turd, would that make everything fine? Would you suddenly be like, oh, it's the shit round. Someone's going to shit their pants. Fine.
I think I'd be okay. A bit more on board, right. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, we're getting further. We're getting further into that. What's your number five then, mate?
I'm going to go... I'm going to start with Captain Caveman.
Captain Caveman. Amazing.
Right. Okay. And I think Nick Helm would play a really good Captain Caveman.
Who's Nick Helm? Can you...
Right. So Nick Helm is in a comedy called Uncle. He's on lots of, kind of panel shows.
Yeah.
You know, when you see his sort of his live stuff, he's very aggressive.
Right.
You know, quite dishevelled in his appearance.
Yeah.
And I think just his kind of his look and his angry comedy would make for a really good Captain Caveman, because Captain Caveman was pretty aggy and shouted a lot, got wound up, and looked a little bit rough around the edges, which,
He was quite handy with a club, wasn't he, as well?
Yeah,
If they wanted to go, like, more upmarket and spend a bit more money, I think if you put a beard on Kit Harington from Game of Thrones, I think he could probably pull it off as well. He was Jon Snow. I think he could do a Captain Caveman quite good. Or even the Hound, which is you. You look, you, as we know. I think you could play it. Let's film it.
He's too small, Captain Caveman.
Oh, he's quite short.
He was quite short, yeah.
This is true. Good point. I know what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think Nick Helm would nail that. And I can't remember how the Captain Caveman theme went. I know it just started with him going, Captain Caveman. See, these are 70s cartoons, so they're a little bit before your time, aren't they?
It is a little bit,
So as I look through my list, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, all of mine are 70s.
Are they?
One's been remade since. What's your four?
I would like to see, this is my only one that's more that era, it's 80s, is Banana Man. And I think a lot of people could play Banana Man, but he's got that little bum chin, hasn't he, Banana Man? And I think if Henry Cavill ever fell out with, like, DC doing Superman, I think he could effortlessly find himself playing Banana Man in an ill-fitting...
Banana Man's, well, way better than Superman.
Exactly. It's a step up in many ways. And, you know, I think Henry Cavill's probably got a bit of a sense of humour. I think he could troll everyone by going from The Witcher and Superman to actually Banana Man and just playing a guy who eats bananas and has, like, he's, you can't really see all his muscles and that because he's... Well, he was quite muscly, obviously, Banana Man. But it's just like...
Eric weren't.
They might have to do some special effects to shrink his frame down and that, but they've done that. They did that in Captain America. But I think just matching up their chins, I think he could pull it off. They might need to add a little bit of prosthetics. I think John Travolta could make a good Banana Man as well.
Yeah, it's a good shape. He's got a big head, hasn't he?
He's got a fucking fat head, hasn't he? And he's got a bum chin as well. One or the other.
Kirk Douglas, he had the ultimate bum chin, didn't he?
He does, he's just so old. I mean,
102, I think Kirk Douglas is.
I don't know. We'll have to see. Kirk,
I'm going to verify. That was a little bit of guesswork, but he's over 100 for sure.
Kirk,
going to Google that.
Tweeting. I did the best guesswork the other day. Molly was so angry. We downloaded on the PS4 Trivial Pursuit, and one of the rounds is you've just got a. It said name all the cats in the show Cats. And Molly went and got one right. Then I went and got one right. And then she went again and got it wrong. And then I picked 7 in a row out of the options that were correct. And I didn't have a clue. And to get 7 correct on the bounce was supreme guesswork. How old is he? Does Google go back that far?
He died in February.
You fucking rude cunt. Haven't you?
103.
Oh, Jesus. Well done, Kurt. Going to be tough to get him on board then. We'll have to settle for Travolta or Cavill, I believe. That's my number 4. What's your number 3?
Okay. Let's have a look. What have I got? I'm going to go for Hong Kong Phooey.
Okay.
And I want Conor McGregor to play him.
Okay, explain.
So, Hong Kong Phooey was loud, irritating, brash. And was obviously half decent at martial arts.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, the cat solved all the crimes.
Yeah.
And I just think, when I was thinking of, like, who will play Hong Kong Fooey, I just think, who is Double Andy, a gobshite, you know, a bit annoying. I thought Conor McGregor would nail that.
Yeah. I'd like to see him wear that as well. I'd really like to see him wear the, you know, I've had to remind myself what he's wearing, but it's a red gi, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, it'd be slightly, you know, it'd be racist as well. And I think that's right up McGregor Street, really, in many ways. He likes to act like he's not racist, and then he says quite racist stuff quite a lot of the time, doesn't he?
I don't know. Does he?
He's done some things that are a little bit... I wouldn't say they weren't funny, but they weren't probably... they probably weren't appropriate. When he was having that... He was having a slaggy match with Khabib. And Khabib had a go at him. And then Conor posted a picture back of Khabib's wedding day and said, "You've married a tea towel." Because his wife was wearing a fucking burqa. And it's like, yeah, exactly. It's like, obviously, you can't not say that there's not a humorous insight in that. But is it really appropriate? And he always goes around saying about how he loves different countries. And it's just so obvious that he's just saying that because that's how you get fans. And then he's obviously sitting and then often says quite quite edgy things. So I think him dressed up and doing a lot of cultural appropriation as a karate expert dog.
You do get quite a few fighters, kind of, probably not necessarily meaning to be homophobic, but you get that quite a lot. They use the F word quite a lot, and you just think, come on, lads, don't need to go there anymore.
No, I think that the thing is though, and because Pip gets quite upset about this, and I understand why. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think that what we don't realise is that a lot of the time, then, you know, some of these fighters and that, they're not sat there on the forefront of progressiveness and on Twitter all day looking into people's rights and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean people shouldn't be called out for it either. I'm just saying I sort of understand why it happens, but why it's important to also call it out.
Yeah, but when you got people like Michael Bisping saying it,
that's it.
He's media trained, you know. He's spent. I mean, he's a presenter now, and you know, when he called Rockhold, was it or one of, you know?
Yeah, do think, it was Rockhold.
Come on, man, you know better than that. Like,
I genuinely don't think he did at the time, and I think he does now. But he should have done. I'm not saying he shouldn't have done. I think he should have done. Yeah. He'd been in the game long enough, but. I don't know. I think he's wisened up a bit more now, Bisping. It's not cool. It's definitely not cool. I don't think fighters will be the ones writing our liberal progressive viewpoints, but it doesn't mean to say they shouldn't be following them with the people who do think like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, you look at Justin Gaethje.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a degree in social care.
He's an incredible man.
You know, he's someone that, you know, looks like he's not the sharpest tool in the box and used to fight like he wasn't the sharpest tool in the box. And then you scratch the surface. Chuck Liddell's got a degree in, I think he's something like social care as well.
Mm.
And, you know, it's amazing that, you know, so many, you know, people are quick to kind of pigeonhole fighters as this certain type of people. But there's, you know... You have to fight smart a lot of the time, and you know you have to be smart.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. Like there's some fucking absolute morons. You know.
What's his name? Who's the one who beat Cruz? Cody Garbrandt.
Garbrandt. Yeah.
And he's so supportive of that you know he's one of his friends who's like the child who's. Really sick and stuff like that. So I'm not saying that isn't the case, but yeah, there's more of a leaning towards it being less the forefront of progressiveness. But
I know what you're saying.
He's a hero. He's an amazing human being for those reasons. Right, what's your? Oh, it's my number three.
Yeah.
I don't watch loads of this. But I do like it. Rick and Morty. Do you ever watch Rick and Morty? You ever seen that? Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
It is funny. I don't know if... I don't think you'd like it. Really. Right. But have you seen the characters?
Yeah.
All right. So Morty's the little kid. And he's like this nervous, awkward child who ends up getting pulled into all these strange sort of like hijinks with his uncle, Rick Sanchez, who's kind of like this crazy, super intelligent scientist who invents, you know, time travel and all this other great stuff. And it's really funny. It's really witty. And I think that the lad who plays, do you remember Stranger Things? You know the kid who gets the monster inside him in the first season? He's the awkward awkward one who they keep accusing him of being gay or something like that. I think him, Joey Schnapp, I think his name is, I think he'd make a great Morty because he's had all this science fiction sort of training now in sort of film and stuff like that. So I think he'd be great as a Morty. And I think Rick could be played by someone like, Jim Carrey, I think would make a good Rick because he's quite intelligent and quite wacky. Of course, you'd probably want, I mean, Christopher... I'm going to get this wrong now and you're going to take the piss out of me because I'm going to say fucking... Who played Doc Scott in Back to the Future?
Christopher Lee.
Yeah, Christopher... No, it weren't Christopher Lee, you little sneak. And I was going to say Christopher Lloyd, but then I'm like, I think that's the guy who does all the theatre shows and shit like that.
It is Christopher Lloyd.
It is Christopher Lloyd. Yeah. Oh, you fucker. I can't trust anything you say.
You're thinking
now.
Of Andrew Lloyd Webber. Oh, I mean, I wish you would have said that.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Oh, man, I hate myself. I get so confused with names.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Oh, mate, I'm not... it's not my strong point. I think Christopher Lloyd would have done, but he's probably... I don't think he's probably the right age now, is he? Who knows?
No.
Rick and Morty. I do recommend it, mate. It's really good. Jordan's got a bloody tattoo on her arm, hasn't she? Jordan Gray. Yeah. And she's... You should trust what she thinks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
She's got, you know, good taste. There you go. That's my justification.
Yeah. She's got more brains than us, hasn't
she? Yeah, basically, put together.
My number three is Mr. Ben.
Oh, okay. I remember Mr. Ben. I like Mr. Ben. It was obviously quite old, old school, but I still remember Mr. Ben. Yeah, I think it was pretty cool. Who are you going for?
Mr. Ben was a man that was very smartly dressed, suit, bowler hat, and would walk into a shop, and the shopkeeper would appear, and Mr. Ben would go into the changing room, and then in that changing room, he would then come out of another door where he would be in another scenario. You'd either be a red Indian. And I just like the fact that it started with, it's very, very sort of English and Mr. Ben was obviously very well dressed, very well spoken, and we'll be walking down the street to the shop. So I thought Jimmy Carr would play him very well.
Wow, he really would. That's a really good shout. I mean, he's not an actor, though. That's my only worry. He's not an actor per se, is he? But Jimmy Carr could act. Has he ever done... No, I was thinking of the guy who imitated him in... what was that comedy series that Jamie Lang went in?
That episode, that is the Jamie Lang episode,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's really weird because let's not talk about that because he's in my list.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
not Jamie.
No. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. No, it's a good shout. I'm trying to think who else could play him. No, that's just dead air.
All right. Yeah. Rubbish.
Just cogs creaking around in my brain. Those are well put together. Alan Cummings could play quite a good Mr. Ben. Remember Alan Cummings?
Yep, I don't agree.
No?
What was the Python sketch where John Cleese is walking down the street with a briefcase and the bowler hat? I think young John Cleese would have done a very good job.
Yeah, is that like Ministry of Funny Walks or is that another sketch?
Yeah, it might have been that. Yeah.
Okay, good shout. Really, really showing how we watch different animated things here, aren't we? Moving on to my number two is a show you wouldn't have seen. It's called Berserk. It's a manga and it's an animation. And it's got loads of different story arcs and they're all pretty fucked up. The one that most people know is the Golden Age story arc that follows the Band of the Hulk, which is sort of like set in medieval times. And there's this band of rogues going around doing mercenary things and cool stuff like that. And it surrounds a guy called Guts as well, who was born out of his mum's stomach, who was hung, and he's cut out of her stomach when she's hung off a tree. So it's quite dark. It's very dark, is Berserk. But it's a really good story. And the guy who writes it, he still hasn't finished it. And he's been writing it for about 20 years. And he releases like a book every year. And everyone's like praying he doesn't die before he gets to the end of the story arc. Go on.
Question. What happens at the end of the first book?
Oh, mate. Well, at the end of the Golden Age, it's proper. I can't really talk about it because it's so gruesome.
It's all tied up and finished, though, yeah?
No.
It's not off...
No, it's not finished. I mean, they've done about 20 graphic... No, they've done... I mean, it's been going for 20 years, mate. It's still not finished.
What if you died tomorrow?
Then you're fucked.
That's just shit.
Yeah, it's quite hard work, isn't it?
Why didn't he like just think, oh, do you know what? I'll write 20 books and then I'll put them all out and then people can read them all.
But they've got good stories in. Like each one has like mini little story arcs, but the overriding story, each story arc's got a start and a finish, but they're all precluding to bigger things.
It's not a finish.
It's not a finish. It's not a happy ending. I don't think
closure.
It'll be.
Is there closure?
Not yet. I think, despite how dark it is, I do think there might be a slightly.
What if he dies halfway through?
No, that's it. One. That's what everyone's worried about.
Oh, it's just pointless.
It's really good, though.
Just
mate.
Pointless. No, I mean, I don't know that it is, but like, just do one book and make it a good one.
Well, I mean, this comes back to like lots of things that you like. They can't just do. You can't just do one movie. If they just done one Star Wars, you'd have missed your favourite Star Wars.
Yeah, that's all good, all well and good, but like once it got to Return of the Jedi, I would have happily left it there. And it's like, you know, because they're going to keep making them, and some of them are going to be good, and some of them ain't. And it's like, nah, leave it all alone there. Like, I just like things to be done and finished with, and on to the next thing. Why don't he finish that book and then just think, oh, do you know what? I might start writing some books about flower arranging or basket weaving in the Andes, something like that. And like, just move forwards, you know, evolve. Don't keep rehashing the same old shit for 20 years, but not giving anyone an ending.
Right.
I want a happy ending.
I suspect that in one of the books in Berserk, someone's been taking a poo. Does that change your opinion on this?
A little bit.
Yeah, I thought so. And who would I want to play Guts? I think a good person for Guts would be Carl Urban. Even though he's a bit old, he did do great in Judge Dredd 3D. And I think...
What's his name?
Carl Urban.
No one's second name is Urban.
It is. He's in The Boys. You wouldn't have seen that, the TV show.
I have seen the TV show, The Boys.
He's Billy the Butcher. He's Bill the Butcher in that.
But his real name's not Urban.
It is Carl Urban. That's his... I don't know if that's his real name. That's his acting name.
Keith Urban. That's not a real name.
Carl Urban. For God's sake. Let's see. Let's Wikipedia it. Carl Urban. He was
real name.
He was Dr. McCoy.
Yeah, I'm not bothered about that. What was his real name? Is it something like Jones or Davis?
He was born in New Zealand. Another little fun fact, in 1972. So he's just a smidgen younger than you.
He's older than me, you prick.
I know. That's called a joke. And I can't see if he's ever changed his name. Oh, birth name. Oh, no, sorry, that's not what I thought it was. No, it is Urban. But his middle name's Hines. Carl Hines Urban. So I could love that. I love that he's got Hines in his name.
Ridiculous name.
Okay. Carl Urban. Berserk.
My number two.
Yeah, go on then.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Okay, yeah, sure. Oh, who are you going to do pick as that then?
Tom Davis. From Murdering Successful.
Oh. Very good. Yeah.
Or King Gary. I think he's lad, he's funny.
Yeah.
He's massive.
Yeah.
And I just think they're all things that Tom Davis is. And I think I'm loving Tom Davis at the moment. He's been having some amazing lockdown Instagram chats with Rom.
Really?
Where they're just letting each other have it. Where it's really, really funny. I think he's great. And I just think if you're gonna play what he's a rooster, right? Foghorn Leghorn?
Yeah, I would have thought he's a rooster. What I'd wanna know is, do you think there's gonna be a massive demand for Foghorn Leghorn? Do you think like everyone's screaming out for it? Do you think that's what the world wants and needs right now?
I'm not saying we're going to write 20 books about it. I think we could just do a short film.
Okay, all right. I'm just trying to figure out if he's a fucking... He looks like a rooster, right? Jesus Christ. Rooster, yeah. Tall, overweight rooster. I think you could play him, actually.
I'm not an actor.
This is true. I don't want an act. I want the real thing, though, Stu.
I was thinking about some comedians that I know and what roles they play. I think Rich Wilson would play a really good Garfield.
Yeah, yeah. He'd have to, Garfield's got an American accent, though, so he's going to have to...
Well, Foghorn Leghorn's got a very deep South American accent.
This is true.
Whereas Tom Davis and Rich Wilson talk like us.
Yeah, sexy. Sexy talk.
Oh, is that what dialect we speak in?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're sexy, actually.
Just
yeah.
When you see Essex people on the TV, other than Towie, I still think we're pretty great, really, in TV shows. I think Essex people are pretty wonderful. Do you want to hear my number one?
Yeah, I do.
He-Man. I want that.
Dolph Lundgren.
No, that's there, yeah, but that's ages ago. Can't have it again, can you? Like, I think if they redid it, you could have easily have put Lion-O as this person as well. But I think Chris Pratt from Guardians of the Galaxy could do a good He-Man because he's bodied up. He's a Hollywood A-lister. He's perfect for He-Man. He could easily pull off the sort of like slightly. Depending on what way they went with He-Man, because He-Man the animation, he was quite camp, and I think Chris Catt could really do that really well. But I've just found out when I was looking into this that they're doing a Masters of the Universe in 2021. The screenplay's been written by the guys who did Iron Man, which obviously launched the Marvel Universe. But they've picked some dude called Noah Centineo, I've never heard of. So my wish will never come true.
I've never seen the original.
What, with Dolph Lundgren? Are you crazy?
I mean, I probably would have been about... What year did that come out? You got it up in front of you?
No, I'll guesswork this. I'm going to say...
I've got this. 90, I've got this.
91.
Right. I mean, I was DJing in clubs.
Yeah, you was getting fucking... Yeah, feeding the horse, wasn't you? Masters of the Universe. I can't even remember what it was called. I think it was called that movie. Have you got it? Have you found it?
No, have you?
Oh, fuck me, I was well off. 1987.
Oh, right, oh, okay. So I was still at school.
Yeah. Got 17% yeah, Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I would have been 14. Yeah, I just weren't into it. No. Like, the cartoon, it was like... I was probably about 12 when the cartoon came out, I suppose. And, yeah, I watched it a bit, but just weren't my thing.
I don't think I'd want to go back and watch the original cartoon series now. I think it's probably would probably be quite
My little
shit.
Brother loved it. He had all the toys and Castle Grayskull and,
yeah.
and all of that. Who plays Skeletor?
Oh, what, now?
Hmm.
I mean, Jim Carrey could do quite a good Skeletor, I think, to be honest with you. I don't know. Who do you think? It was Frank Langella originally.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Ross Kemp.
What's your number one, mate?
Charlie Brown.
Okay, yeah, go on then.
Cole Pilkington.
That is amazing. That's a really good one, mate. He does look like him, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's about as electric as Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Like, very subdued, you know. It's always raining. There's always a rain cloud over Cole, and there's always a rain cloud over Charlie Brown.
There really is, yeah.
And I fucking love Charlie Brown.
Of course you do. I couldn't think of I couldn't think of anything I'd rather watch less than Charlie Brown. Foghorn Leghorn.
The early films, the early Peanuts films, like where Charlie Brown and the gang go to like summer camp and they go like rafting. Them films, like when they were on in the summer holidays when I was a kid, were just the greatest. And I bought one on DVD to play the girls. They weren't on board. They really weren't on board.
What happens? He just kicks a pebble along the floor, doesn't he? That
It's not just him. You've got Peppermint Patty, you've got Snoopy, you've got Woodstock, you've got Linus, you know, you've got Pigpen. There's a gang, Marcy. There's loads of them. And
is that gang as exciting as like Skeletor's gang or He-Man's gang?
No. Yeah, but it's real.
Oh, fucking, here we go. We knew that was coming, didn't we? We knew that was coming. Right, how real is it? Because if it's real, you know what I want to see? I want to see, what's that girl in the blue dress? What's her name?
She got glasses on.
No. She's got a blue dress.
I don't know. I mean, I can't see what you're looking at. I presume it's Marcy. I think his sister was called Lucy.
I want to see that girl in a blue dress take a shit.
I mean, I think there must have been a couple of episodes where Snoopy, you know...
did a poopy.
Maybe he did. Yeah, probably. Yeah. But he would have been in his little... like. In his kennel.
What is going on with you on lockdown, mate? Stop visualising animals taking shits.
But yeah, I just think, and I really like, he's very reflective, Charlie Brown, and I like his kind of his thoughts, and I just equally adore Cole Pilkington, love his thoughts, love his reflective nature on how he will just find parallels between the most bizarre things to someone that lived on his housing estate when he was growing up. And I just think it would be brilliant. He would be the best Charlie Brown ever. Like, You know, he's short. He's got, you know, obviously, as Ricky and Steve point out, he's got a completely round head, as did Charlie Brown.
He's got a pea head, didn't he? 100%.
Yeah, be perfect. Yeah, that's my number one, man. Cole Pilkington. I mean, we've recently been re-watching Idiot Abroad. It's fucking brilliant. It's so good. Like, did you ever watch them?
Yeah, I saw some of them. They are really good. Yeah, 100%.
I just love it. I love his wisdom. Obviously, you don't listen to podcasts, but when he was on Distraction Pieces, just fucking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And, like, yeah, I just find him fascinating. And knowing, you know, that he started off as just the guy in the engineering room in XFM, and Ricky and Steve used to pick on him, and then they gave him a mic, and then obviously they're like, whoa, this guy is spectacular. And then obviously, you know, they've made him a very successful and hopefully wealthy man, you know, through terrorising him. And, I think he's great. Like, I really enjoy Sick of It, his new show. And I think he'd be a perfect Charlie Brown.
How old is he?
I reckon he's a couple of years younger than me.
Right, so that's him. So he's like 47, 48, and he's wearing, and he's dressed as a kid. So basically, like you in that streetwear top.
Well, weirdly, I mean, when it comes to bands that dress like teenagers, that's pretty much your field, isn't it? Like, you would have grown up listening to things like Offspring. And Offspring, I mean, they were about 50 in the 90s, and, like, they'd wear, like, three-quarter length, like, skate shorts, and it was like, come on, mate. Probably got grandkids. What's with the outfit? Was you a fan of Offspring? I don't know why. I was just using it as a term of abuse, really.
Not really. I quite liked Self Esteem and Smash. Quite like that record. Like most kids did. Most fucking 15-year-old kids did at my age. You know, it's quite cool. But as you got older, you started seeing the cracks.
Yeah.
Creepy cracks.
Yeah. Speaking of cracks and smash.
I've got to go and fill in your mums.
Oh, yeah? I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes, so if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. Podbiblemag.com. It's a drunken soiree in the Within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.